Hallelujah. And today it's going to come through our own elder, Sister Karen Liverman. For God's truth unto us, the mystery, let us receive elder Sister Karen with a very hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. God is so good. Amen, amen. He's blessed us with another day to look into the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God. If you'd be so kind as to bow your head for a word of prayer, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you, hallelujah, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your eternal plan of salvation. We thank you, Heavenly Father, hallelujah, how we were elected in eternity to be members of the body of Christ. We're praying right now, Lord, for our worldwide web audience, that you may continue to lift up their hearts and encourage them. Hallelujah. Father, we're praying also for those that are yet not here. Hallelujah, that you may bless them as well. Lord, please give us hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we can behold the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God. Lord, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Well,
reader,
when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from. Oh, yeah. You should already have your Bible turned to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah, verses 3 to 5. Oh, yeah. You should already have your Bible turned to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Yeah, I'm starting there. I'm anchored there. Why? Because you can't ever get enough of Ephesians. You can't ever get enough of Colossians. You must know who you are in Christ. And we're going to kind of talk about that today. We're going to, I tell you all the time at the end, I say, walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you might be wondering, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about some of that today in our little message. We're going to talk about how you walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to give you five easy steps, but I am going to give you something to think about and something to study about later on. Amen, amen. Deacon, can you start?
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. First from the King James Version.
Amen.
Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen. Amen.
Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being Amen. Us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us yes. to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself.
Hallelujah.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Deacon, could I insert just really quickly Ephesians 3:11? If you can read that in the Greek as well as the King James. We're just going to insert this today. You know, we just talked about salvation and its origination in eternity. It's part of God's eternal working. Now we're going to talk about in Ephesians 3:11 that everything, everybody say everything, everything is according to God's decree. Can you read that, please?
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, first from the King James Version. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to purpose of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
Amen, amen. And now if you could go to Colossians.
And now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Again, from the King James Version, firstly. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amen.
And now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled.
Hallelujah.
Who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen, amen. So in Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, we talked about salvation and its eternal, as an eternal working of God. Yes. Nothing that was done in time. You were called or elected in eternity before the foundation of the world to be a member of the body of Christ. Ephesians 3 tells us that everything is according to God's divine will and purpose, according to God's decree. One decree. God is not in heaven making daily decisions, and that's confirmed in Colossians 2, 9, and 10 when it talks about everything is completed in Christ in God. You know, if we can kind of get hold to those truths, it'll cause us to not have so much confusion. Today we are going to look at a document, and this document is called The Holy Spirit Bears Witness to God's Beloved. It's from Doctrinal Conference number 21, May 23rd, 2016. So you can reference that if you want to read along. And it reads, what has long been debated in Christendom is the issue of what certification identifies and guarantees God's people's status in him. The reoccurring query posed by many of God's people is, how can we know that we are saved or belong to God? We know this is a big problem with people. You know, when we are putting everything in time, we may be up today and down tomorrow. We may feel we made it and please God today, but we missed the mark and we might be in jeopardy of just making it in. Yeah. Am I saved? You know, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Did I not apologize and ask for forgiveness? You know, it goes back to putting you in the spotlight. It goes back to making you a determinant factor and your behavior, or whether or not you succeed or whether or not you fail in your daily living. And we want to put some of that to rest today.
Right.
In deliberations, there is a plethora of doctrinal prescriptions and panacea types persuasions proffered as one's interest and residency and salvation status of belonging to God. Well, what do we go through there? Go through reciting the sinner's prayer. Go through giving the preacher your hand and God your heart. Go through baptisms. I say baptisms because myself personally, I've been baptized a lot of times. Trying to make sure I was getting it right. Realizing that that's not about what God intended. That's why it's so important to rightly divide the Bible by dispensation and covenants. Because, you know, you read in one part, it says, baptized, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And then you read another part where Paul said, I wasn't called to baptize nobody. And he said, I only baptized a few. But see, we have to get out of putting ourselves in the prescription of how we are saved and how we remain saved. We have to realize that salvation is an eternal entity, that it was completed in Christ in God when? Before the foundation of the world. And every time you see me come, I'm batting that to you. I'm trying to hit a home run so that you can have peace, so that you won't be tossed to and fro, that you will take yourself out of the spotlight, that you can begin vertical viewing. Hallelujah. And that's what it's about. So, you know, when we go to these prescriptions and these doctrinal things, it causes confusion. From this has arisen diverse variation of traditional and denominational tenets. This underlying issue is accorded to what is genuinely focused, what says the scriptures. And what says the scriptures? Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. Could you please turn to that? We're going to look at that. Firmly states, for you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you did receive a spirit of adoption in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs on the one hand of God and heirs together on the other hand with Christ. If indeed we suffer together, that also we may be having been glorified together. And that's saying a mouthful. Oh my God. Deacon, can you please read that in the Greek interlinear, since I've already read it in the King James? That's 15 to 17 in Romans.
Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
Romans now, 8. Mm-hmm. From the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, from the interlinear Greek text. Mm-hmm. For ye received not a spirit of slavery again for fear, but ye received a spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. Himself, the Spirit, witnesses with the spirit of us that we are children of God. And if children, also heirs. Heirs on the one hand of God, joint heirs on the other of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Since we suffer with, in order that also we may be having been glorified with.
Amen, amen. Now, you've got to take this scripture and what he's saying out of time.
Yes.
It must be taken out of time and put into God's eternal workings in your individual life. You must understand that the time capsule is a creation,
yes,
for the manifestation of the actualized plan, will, divine purpose of God. So it's talking here about suffering, and it didn't say if you suffer. Do you know that's part of God's plan? Suffering? Oh yeah, nobody wants to talk about suffering. We want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yeah. We want 5 easy steps. Yeah. Yeah. We want to breeze through and then go on our little cloud and you strum on our harp in heaven. Yeah. We don't think anything bad is supposed to happen to the saints. Well, some of you must have not read Hebrew 11.
Come on here.
Where it talks about how many of them were martyrs, cut with the sword. Jesus was crucified like a criminal, marched and paraded around like a criminal. Yeah, and then when something comes into your life and happens to you, you think it's strange. James says, count it not strange when divers occurrences happen, when tests and trials come. He says, welcome them as friends. Do you know that's part of who we are? And it's got a purpose according to God.
Right.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, there is glory in suffering. And it says so right here, that we may be glorified with him since we suffer with him. Suffering is a part of the glory. God is glorified through our suffering. Suffering builds trust and hope in the Lord.
Right.
Do you know, if suffering doesn't come, you'll be deceived because we're all depraved.
Come on, yeah.
Bible says all have sinned. You'll be thinking that it's all about you.
Amen.
Oh yeah, you take God as the sideline.
Yeah.
You become the main attraction. Yeah. The suffering comes, hallelujah, to help us understand it's not about you, but it's all about him. Okay. So the suffering comes like a wake-up call. The suffering comes to help us to grow in the deeper things of God. Hallelujah. Suffering builds trust and hope in the Lord. Suffering increases or builds the fruits of the Spirit. We're not going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, but I want you to reference that, and I want you to look at it a little later. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. You know, we don't have any of that. We want snap, crackle, pop. We want instant miracles. Yeah. We want to be able to see it right now. We want God to deliver it this way. Yeah, yeah. We pray and we say, go to it, Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And then when the answer, which is what we want, we've already told God what to do. And when it doesn't manifest, we get depressed. We feel downtrodden. Woe is me. What have I done wrong? Did I not confess the right thing? What is faith? Well, one definition I like to use about faith, because when you look at faith, people talk about big faith and little faith, mustard seed faith. They talk about all kinds. All of it is the faith of God. It all belongs to him. Faith is you acting on the initiative of God. Where did it originate? With who? God. Who determines how much you need for whatever you're going through?
God.
You mean not because I'm confessing, not because I'm pulling out a scripture, not because I'm fasting, not that I can go on and on and on how we insert ourselves in the equation. Faith is acting on the initiative of God. Do you know God is the author and the finisher? He's the designer of your life. Now, we all want to give him, we want to give him props on being the creator. But we think after he created, he turned it all over to us. Oh, my God. We're willy-nilly, up one day, down another. Tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. You know, I have a cousin. I love him dearly. And we've grown up together all our lives. And we've walked this journey to where we are now in our 60s. And when he was in college. And a lot of times people get kind of turned around in these universities because we hear so much. So he announced to me, we had gone to have dinner or something. He was up at the University of Michigan. And he says, Karen. I said, what? He said, I'm a Buddhist. I said, you are what? Now, he'd been raised Baptist. So I said, so now you're telling me you've gotten up here and then learned so much. Now you are Baptist Buddhist? Yeah, what is that? That's us being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When you take your eyes off Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, which purchased us, redeemed us, hallelujah, caused us to be sons of God, adopted into his family. See, when we read that Abba Father, it means daddy. Daddy. He's our father. Now, some of us get him mixed up with Santa Claus. Yeah, we think that God is up in heaven making a list and checking it twice. And if you do this, then he's going to respond this way. And if you see you, anytime you put you in the equation, it's going to be a mess. It's not about you. It is all about him and his predetermined plan for your life, your preset life in him. Amen. So that suffering builds hope. It increases, hallelujah, our patience and our long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith. We already talked about faith. Meekness, temperance. And it ends by saying, for such there is no law against it. Suffering helps us to walk in the spirit so we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not going to go, I'm referencing Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, and it talks about the works of the flesh. I'm not going to go into detail because guess what? You already know them. Mm-hmm. You know them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know them. Many times, too many of us walk in the flesh most of the time. Yeah, we are moved by our circumstances. We do according to what's hitting us at that point in time. And that's because we're not developing our spiritual walk. And how do you do that? Well, let's look at the next section here. It says, thus salvation isn't in any eternal sense a resolution made at some point in time, but manifestly testimonial journeys in developmental identification with God's spirit. Mm-hmm. I like the developmental part.
That's right.
Because a lot of what happens in our daily life is based on our development. You know, in my circles, we use the Piaget model for theories for development. And what it says is that your development starts on a low level, and as you master those skills on the lower level, you move up. And we base our whole educational system in America based on that. We start a five-year-old in kindergarten, not fifth grade. Right. So they start in kindergarten. They master the kindergarten skills. They move to first, second. We have some teachers in here. They know what I'm talking about. You go to the second grade, third grade, and so on, till you graduate because you've mastered those skills. Yeah. And so, but your spiritual development is somewhat similar. Yeah. We start with the rudiments of salvation, of election. We divide the scriptures dispensationally. And you know, God has kind of directed the ministry here on in those three veins. We pretty much major every week. And as you see all of us coming, we're all talking the same thing. We're all touching on the importance of cutting it straight and rightly dividing the word. We're all touching on the fact that we were elected in eternity as part of God's eternal plan. We all talk about salvation. You know, I was looking at TV, and you see a lot on TV. A lot of it's like a carnival show. It's kind of like entertainment, some of these Christian shows. And one of the preachers, he said, money, 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 money. Bring all the money. And then he had people coming up to the altar throwing money. And he said, you know, we're not going to talk about salvation. We already had enough of that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about getting the bills paid. Do you ever finish paying bills? Give you an example. Do you ever own a house? No. Because you're going to have to pay taxes. Or they'll show you who really owned the house. They'll exert something called eminent domain. And they'll come take your house. Yeah, so, but... the concept that we get too much about salvation, we're going to go get away from that. You can never get away from that. And that's part of your development. As you realize who you are in Christ, as you realize that it was not about you, that you didn't cause yourself to be saved, and you're not saved in time, you're saved as part of God's eternal working, then you can't unsave yourself. You can never be lost. Once saved, always saved. Because when were you saved? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. It's a working of God in his eternal plan. Hallelujah. So if you're saved in eternity, you cannot be lost in time. So that developmental identification, and how does it come? Well, it says here, the essence of salvation's venue is eternity, which is everlastingly one's son positioning in Christ. Definitively, salvation is one's eternal relationship with God, and as such, one solely knows by God's Spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with and to our spirits that we are children of God. It is in this sense that we are aware that we are strictly God's choice as we walk in light of his foreordination. You know, we didn't find Jesus.
Come on here.
Yeah, we didn't find Jesus. Jesus elected you. He picked you. When? In his eternal workings, in eternity, before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. It is in this sense that we are aware that we are strictly God's choice as we walk in the light of his foreordination. We must also be attentive to of his witness beyond proclivities of our sinful nature. This knowledge is, in fact, encouragement to identify with his righteousness rather than our depravity. I had a lady tell me she was a good sinner. Yeah, she's a good sinner. Because she didn't do this, she didn't do that. You know, when she was in sin before she found the Lord, she was a good sinner because she didn't do, she wasn't like those other sinners. We're going to call sin good? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's only through his righteousness, not our own. We don't have nothing to brag about. The Bible says our unrighteousness is as filthy rags. No such thing as good sin. All have sinned. Amen. All are depraved. This knowledge is, in fact, encouragement to identify with his righteousness rather than our depravity. This holy eternal separation conviction eludes what truly receiving the witness of salvation from the Holy Spirit demonstrates. This testimony is the solidarily reliable evidence as to who belongs to God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. So when we start looking at this, it talks about this knowledge is in fact encouragement to identify with his righteousness rather than our depravity.
Oh my God.
Knowledge of what? Couldn't be knowledge of us, because we know we all have sinned. We are no count. We must increase in our knowledge of him and what he has done for us through his eternal workings. And when we start talking about knowledge of him, we're talking about knowledge of who we are in Christ, in God, and what he has done for us. We're talking about knowledge of grace doctrinal truth, or the ancients. We're talking about learning about election, which is God's sovereign choice. Learning about salvation, which is God's provision of escape from eternal damnation. We're talking about learning and gaining knowledge of reconciliation, or how we were restored to right fellowship with God. We're talking about knowledge of redemption, or that's freedom from the curse of sin by payment of a price. And that price? The precious blood of Jesus. We need to learn about that. We have to get knowledge about justification, which is a legal term, and it means reconciliation or declaring righteousness. Justification. That was so revolutionary. That puts all of it on the shoulders of God and takes all of it off of you. There is nothing you can do to justify sin. The scripture says there's no remission of sin without what? The shedding of blood. And the only acceptable sacrifice or propitiation, acceptable sacrifice, is Jesus. We need to have knowledge of what was wrought for us through his blood. Amen. We have to have knowledge of sanctification. And that don't mean wearing a long dress and no makeup and all these. And notice all the little rules and rituals that some of the denominations put on sanctification were against women. Yeah. All the men were sharp. Amen. They had bright ties on and, looking good. You know, we got some up here doing that. Looking good. Yeah. They looking good. Yeah, they are. But the women, plain Jane. Plain Jane. You know, I have a sister-in-law down south, and I love her very dearly. She's a professor, retired professor. And she wears her hair natural and with a hairnet and, you know, not too much, probably no makeup hardly, and, you know, but her husband, the pastor, sharp as a tack. Yeah, and I want so bad to say, put on a little lipstick. Yeah, yeah. But see, we judge holiness and sanctification external because we don't have the knowledge of the word of what it actually is. Saying you need to have knowledge of sanctification. That's how you were separated in God's eternal plan. That's being sanctified, separated. It's not wearing jewelry or all these externals. It is an eternal working of God. You have to read the book to find out about it. We have to have knowledge of predestination, God's determination that we were going to be members of the body of Christ before time. Before time. Adoption, God's appointment of believers in sonship positions. We become children of God. We have to have knowledge of imputation, which is God, how he ascribes or reckons righteousness to us. He transfers his righteousness to us. We have to have knowledge of righteousness, which is the only standard. And that's the standard of God. We have to have knowledge of dispensations, and that's to set the rules or policy that God dispenses or governs for a period. All of these things, if you look in Ephesians chapter 3, around verse 14 through 17, Paul is talking about, he's reciting the Ephesians prayer, and all of it is about increasing in knowledge of him and who we are in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that is what it's about. It's about knowing who we are in him. Amen. The scriptures convey that one must not believe every spirit that bears witness, but test that spirit to see if it's really the Holy Spirit's instruction for assurance of salvation. Insertions of human participation are counterfeits of the Holy Spirit's witness. I'll read that again. Yes. Insertions of human participation are counterfeits of the Holy Spirit's witness. We cannot brag that we were baptized. We cannot brag that we fasted. We cannot brag that we read the scriptures or we prayed so long or anytime you put yourself in it, it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. Because it is not about you. It is all about him. Yes. It's all about his finished eternal workings. Yes. Before time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So once you start talking about what you do and how holy you are and how you fast and how you pray and how you attend church and how you pay tithes and how, and we can just go on and on and on about the insertions that we use in order to shine light on us. And if you're shining light on you, guess who you're taking light away from? You're taking it away from him. Because it's not about you. It is all about him. You have nothing to glory in except his finished workings. Except his righteousness. Except his holiness. Except his forgiveness. Him, it's all about him. And when you start putting you in, it's a counterfeit. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, and thus characteristically and specifically, specifically talks about false works in our assurance of salvation. Well, I'm saved because I fasted and prayed till the Holy Ghost came. I'm saved because I recited the fifth sinner's prayer. I'm saved. Because I go to church on Sunday. And we can just go on and on and on. And none of that counts. I hear you. There's only one thing that counts. And that's the finished work of God. Hallelujah. That was done in eternity before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Holy Spirit a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. all about him. It's not about us. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So if you're in it, it's a counterfeit. It goes on to say, while being convinced that they're true Christians, again, because of their meritorious involvements, it's a disguise. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's not a true fact. The facts you'll find in the book, and it all goes back, and it all credits the Creator, that it's all about God. Conversely, the Holy Spirit's witnessing is consistent with God's decree, which doesn't in any wise contradict the scriptures, but bears witness as to who belongs to God. Works sown to the flesh merely convict its contributors of sin by the Holy Spirit. Those doctrinally misled into propagating human meritorious roles repetitively ignore Christ's eternal sacrifice in favor of tingling their conscience for indeterminate amounts of time. It builds you up to me. It makes you think that, you know, you're holy because you look holy. You're holy because, you know, you keep a certain diet. And we can go on and on and on. But none of that involves you counts. Whatever we are doing is temporary in time. It's physical. It's carnal. Everything that he has done is eternal. Hallelujah. According to his divine will and his purpose. You know, the study of the aforementioned grace doctrinal truths, all those Asians, will help you understand that the Holy Spirit bears witness to you, of God's beloved, that you are a member of the body of Christ, saved in eternity before time. It's not about you, but it is all about him. We already talked about faith, how walking by faith is walking according to God's initiative. God's initiative. You know, it's difficult for us. You know, we talk about viewing life from the vertical plane and not sightseeing. It's difficult to not be a sightseer. You have to grow in the doctrines that we just talked about in order to not be a sightseer. You have to grow in the doctrines and the truths, those eternal truths, those truths that never change, those Asians, in order for you not to be looking around and sinking. Remember Peter, as he walked the water, as long as he had his eyes on Christ, he was successful. But the minute he started observing the wind and the waves, his circumstances, he started failing. We are all put on boats and all asked at some times to launch off into the deep. And many times we are overwhelmed by the winds and the waves and we lose confidence in God. Sometimes we even blame God, you know, and that's because of our spiritual immaturity. You're not going to be spiritually mature until you get into the Bible and study his word. We are encouraging you to stay in your mail, to concentrate on the 14 epistles of Paul. Because if you get outside of those doctrines, you're going to get into some murky water. You're going to say, you'll come back saying, you know, God contradicts himself. One, like we mentioned earlier, one scripture says baptize. Paul said, I came not to baptize. So if you're mixing those books up and those dispensations, those covenants and those agreements, it's going to birth confusion in your life. You know, walking by faith is not an easy thing. It's a developmental thing. You know, and the more I look into the book, the more I'm able to handle daily life challenges. And the more you look in, the more you're going to reflect what you see in the scriptures. And you'll be able to do this. You will be able to view life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation. And it will bring peace to your daily life. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.